What if you could complete your MBA in just 1 year? Thanks to the College of Charleston School of Business, now you can. Their accelerated MBA program condenses a traditional two-year program into one rigorous year, ensuring you not only save a year of tuition and fees, but also re-enter the workforce quickly and graduate with critical business knowledge. U.S. News & World Report recognized the College of Charleston MBA as number one in the country for its job placement rate within 3 months of graduation. Learn more at mba.cfc.edu.
Opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, and welcome to Beyond the Business, brought to you by the College of Charleston School of Business. The College of Charleston School of Business, where students are beyond ready to work, they're ready to make an impact. Each Saturday morning at 9, successful business leaders and entrepreneurs from across the Lowcountry talk about what it takes to succeed in business and in life. Now your hosts of Beyond the Business, Eric Cox and Leslie Haywood.
And great Saturday morning, Low Country. Welcome to another edition of Beyond the Business, heard here on 94.3 and simulcast on iHeart and Spotify. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Cox, here for another edition, again, of Beyond the Business, presented by the College of Charleston School of Business, with our lovely and talented co-host, Leslie Haywood, this morning. Leslie, how are things over in West Ashley?
Oh, they're doing great. I'm hanging in there. We're burning through November, aren't we?
Kind of crazy. We're cruising through, and hard to believe we're down to about 45 days left in 2021.
I know. Morgan, my 16-year-old, she put her Christmas tree up in her room in July. So, I mean, like, she's so excited that we're really getting close.
It's here.
And she also bought, oh, I got to tell you this, it's a dummy dry side person, Buddy the Elf, rides shotgun in Morgan's car. Now, and he lights up at night. So when you see a 16-year-old in a RAV4, like with roof racks and, you know, looking all girly, a light up Buddy the Elf is she makes her friend sit in the back seat now. Buddy the Elf sits there. And I mean, like, you pull up next to her and you're like, what in the world? So, yeah. Christmas can't
like
come.
This sounds like we're doing a therapy session this morning, Leslie.
Oh, my God. Christmas can't come soon enough so that Buddy the Elf can get back in the box.
Buddy the Elf. Well, we learned something new about Leslie today. Thanks for sharing that information. And thank you for being with us for another edition of Beyond the Business. And as always, week in and week out, we just love, you know, having entrepreneurs and leaders around our community and really around the country come and share their stories. And certainly last week, we had another great opportunity with that. Mr. Chad Strong. Chad is the founder and owner of Tidewater Pharmacy and Medical Supply, who was able to come on and just share a little bit of his life and his upbringing. And what a creative and unique story. Leslie, I always know you got a nugget or two you take away. What was your highlight from Chad's story last week?
Well, it's always so interesting to see people's take on where the entrepreneurial spirit comes from. And last week was no different. And he was of the camp growing up. That was the last thing that I wanted to do. I saw the failures and the successes, and it was not anything that he ever thought he wanted to do, even through corporate. So it's, you know, one of those late in life entrepreneurial visions, and you never know when lightning is going to strike. I mean, that was kind of the way it was for me too. You know, in your 30s, you decide, oh my God, I'm going to open a company, you know? So I love that entrepreneurship takes all shapes, sizes, and forms. Eric? What you got?
I love, you know, sort of relating back to the 8 years of doing this show. And like you said, the nature versus nurture. And we have all like shapes, sizes, and forms of how people get into entrepreneurship. And like me, you know, Chad had corporate experience. I spent 20 years in corporate, so I really related to his corporate experience and the fact that it just got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore, right? The bureaucracy, the whatever you want to call it, the conference calls, the corporate stuff.
TPS reports.
There you go. And ultimately make the jump off that cliff. And so I just really related. Actually, when we got done with the show last week, we were talking a little bit afterwards, and to hear Chad talk about, and I get it, like just how hard you have to dig into your soul and how hard you have to work and how focused you have to be to make it work, but it's worth every single moment of it. I really related to that. Appreciate Chad sharing that. So, Chad, by the way, we're speaking like you're not even here. Welcome back. Glad you're here.
Good to be back.
Glad that, unfortunately, Leslie usually runs people off, but you're strong enough. You came back for show number two, and we're ready to dive into it today. So, if you don't mind, Chad, first of all, again, there might have been a listener who did not hear your show last week. Give us a quick 20-second commercial again on your company, Tidewater Pharmacy.
Yeah, so one of Mount Pleasant's premier pharmacies, truly independent. We are here for the community. We 100% answer all pharmacy needs, medical needs, anything you need. We offer free delivery anywhere in the Mount Pleasant, downtown, Sullivan's Island, Daniel Island areas. So, you know, if you have any, and we can very competitive from a pricing standpoint. So anything you need in the pharmacy or medical arena, we've got you covered.
Awesome. And as we were winding last week's show down, it was the spot that I love the most. We were talking about that actual jump off the cliff into the entrepreneur waters. And we were kind of going through the whole aspect of you were, you know, still having a career. You were working at a company. You were blueprinting and starting your pharmacy. You actually went out and got your pharmacy, hired people in your pharmacy, and then ultimately made the leap. And as we talk about with most of our entrepreneurs, you make that leap and then you sell off in the sunset, but it didn't exactly just take off for you. So if you don't mind, I hate to take you back down that lovely road, but talk about those early years and the struggles that you had and how you made it through those moments.
Yeah, so we opened the store on June of 2015, and we opened the same week that the Walgreens, which is about 200 yards from us, opened, literally on the same day. And, you know, people kept saying, you realize you're 200 yards from a Walgreens? Like, how are you as an independent going to make it? And, you know, looking back at it, I mean, you just kind of put your leap, you do that leap of faith. And at the end of the day, you don't know what reimbursements are coming in. And from a pharmacy standpoint, you know, you can bring in a prescription to me today. I don't get paid by that insurance company for about 30 days. And so, you know, and then I don't know how much I'm going to make until I send them a claim and my little sticker prints out. And it could be anything from $1, $10, or even negative, and they aren't paying me what the drug's worth. So some prescriptions I win on, some prescriptions I lose on. And so you don't know really based upon your contract, and you don't know really who you're sending that claim to until that little sticker prints out. So at the end of the day, you're just sitting there on a blind leap of faith, hoping some money comes in at some point in time. And as I was talking about last week, you know, we took a good 2 years. I didn't pull a salary for about 2 years. It was one of those things where I had mentioned, you know, we'd opened the store. I had two pharmacists working. After about 6 months, I had to let one of them go. I was still working a full-time job, but backing myself into the pharmacy slowly. So basically, I'd work my job during the day. I'd come in after we put the kids down at night around 9 o'clock and work till about 2, making compounds, whatever needed to be done, and get up the next day and rock and roll. So I did that almost for about 2 years. Well, I should take that back. I did that for about 3 months before I got laid off with my full-time job. And then I ended up working in the pharmacy daily from 8:30 to 6:30 and every other Saturday with Don, my other pharmacist. And then I'd come in at night after putting the kids down to bed at about 8 or 9 o'clock and work until about 2 to get the compounds done and ready for the patients to pick up the next day.
Now, during those early years, how important was the support of your family and your wife? And, I mean, did that ever waver?
She is a godsend. I mean, I don't know how she does it today. We're four kids deep at this point in time. No more at all. But that being said, you know, we opened the store and she was pregnant with our third. And we had a fourth in the meantime, why I'm working these crazy hours. And, you know, looking back on it today, I don't know how I did it. But when you're in the thick of it, you just do it. And it's the same as raising kids. When you're in the thick of it, you figure it out. You get it done because it's all or nothing. And you've got to be able to make it succeed. And I'm not one to fail. Sometimes it's out of your hands. But I was like, all right, I'll be damned. I'm going to make this work.
And as you were going along in those early years, we always talk about influences. And you mentioned in last week's show, a mentor of yours up in Orangeburg. Was there folks that you leaned on, turned to for wise counsel and help through those times?
Yes and no. I mean, from a business standpoint, because of you're in a specific geography, my mentor's up in Orangeburg, there's different plans. So he couldn't associate with what we were dealing with down here from reimbursements, that type of stuff. So, you know, he, from the day to day of what software program I need to run versus what buying group I need a part of versus the wholesaler, all that type of stuff, he helped guide me on that. But, you know, other than talking to a bunch of buddies and some friends on just some general business stuff, because I've never taken an econ class. I didn't know what a P&L document was. I didn't know any of this stuff. So I was drinking from a fire hose, and I also hadn't worked retail since I'd graduated college. So here I am as a retail pharmacist all of a sudden drinking from a fire hose, not only on the pharmacy side, but also on the business side, trying to understand, you know, the ins and outs of Econ 101, which was ended up being have to self-taught and finding a bookkeeper and an accountant and everything else, because, you know, you can only bite off so much.
Now, in those early years, what was your vision for the pharmacy long term, and has that changed at all?
No, the vision was to shut down the Walgreens next door. I mean, honestly, that was the vision. And funny enough, they call me about once a quarter asking if I'd be willing to sell, and I tell them, number one, my goal is to shut down their Walgreens store that's 200 yards from me, and we're doing a damn good job doing that at this point in time.
They know. Have you said that?
Oh, yeah. And I say, thanks for calling, and hang up the phone. I don't even give them a chance to respond. I mean, if you sit back and look at, like, if you don't know what you're going into and you don't know what you don't know, and that's across lives, all we know is the CVS and the Walgreens. Or I should say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say those, but big box stores. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's all we know from a pharmacy standpoint. Until you walk into an independent, whether it's us or another independent in town, that's when you get truly treated like a human being. You are not a number. And I think, going back, Eric, to your point of corporate America, when you're just a number, you get tired of being a number, and you shouldn't have to be a number. And so my goal in opening Tidewater was to make sure we know every customer that walks through that door, we are able to answer any question or any opportunity that needs or any need from the community. And I told my staff at the time when we opened, Don, myself, and Catherine, I said, we're never taking no for an answer. We are going to seek to find the answer, whether it's some type of medical equipment, whether it's some drug or whatever we need to do, we're going to get it for that customer.
And so as the years go along, you all have a lot of success, growing like a lot of businesses here in the area. And then obviously last year we all hit the COVID mark, right? And so talk a little bit about what a curveball like that does for you as a business owner and as a leader, how you navigated through those times.
So I will tell you, from the get-go, I've been blessed just with my staff. Like, they truly make Tidewater what Tidewater is. You know, they've been with me from the start. Everyone that I've hired has continued to stay with me. And so, you know, we have this culture here that we're family. And I think we treat our customers when they walk in as they're part of the same family. And, you know, it's been fun. It was fun growing it. And then all of a sudden, COVID hit. And it's like, well, and none of us knew what that meant. You know, like, if any of us got COVID, well, then we'd have to shut the pharmacy down. We can't afford to do that. So we ended up going into teams and working every 3 days. And so we branched off. And at the time, there was 9 of us. So 3 people would work the normal day that 9 people were working. And then they'd have 2 days off. And then another team would come in the next day. And, I mean, we would work 12 plus hours those days that you're working. And it was just, I mean, it was hard. We did that for about 4 months. And then we were like, at this point in time, things aren't going to change. Let's just go back to working the normal. Let's wear a mask. Let's stay away from each other. And as you all know, in a pharmacy, you can't stay away from each other. You're working on top of each other. So, you know, and so many hands are touching so many things, whether it's the vial to, or the processing to the label to the vial to the medication, and it goes down the line to make sure it's checked and it's right. So at the end of the day, you know, if one of us got exposed, unfortunately none of us did, and we've been able to keep the doors open. But COVID allowed us to grow exponentially, fortunately, in the fact of our free delivery services. No one wanted to come to the pharmacy. So your big box stores, they don't offer free delivery. And so we had people calling us daily, transferring all their prescriptions because none of us knew what was coming down the pipe from a COVID standpoint. No one wanted to go out. No one wanted to go anywhere. We do have curbside service here. So they would call, we'd go out, the trunk's open, we throw the medication in the trunk. You know, I mean, crazy things, or hey, throw it through the back seat window or whatever it was at the time. But I will say COVID was a blessing in disguise in our commodity market because of the services we offered at the time.
So one of the big, I just realized this, of going to some place independent instead of the box stores, your agility to maneuver is, you changed with the times. I mean, that's amazing. I love that story. Now, going forward, is that going to be a piece of your business plan and your model that you're going to continue well past COVID? Is that kind of where one of your niches is going to be in the future? Or do you think people are going to go back to the way it was once this is all over?
I think it's here to stay. I mean, our software provider added text messaging into our software, so we no longer have to pick up the phone. I can text you immediately and let you know, number one, your prescription is ready, and you can text me back, and it shows up literally on the screen for everybody to see, hey, thank you, I'll be there at 3 o'clock to come pick it up. Like, I mean, it's amazing how things have changed and what COVID had forced us to do so quickly and be so nimble. It also, you know, from my corporate standpoint, I've been able to grow different programs directly with manufacturers. So a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are looking for specific pharmacies to manage either programs that they offer for incentives for the customer to get, let's say, if you go to the big box, it's a $50 copay coupon that reduces the cost. Well, if you come to Tidewater, it's only $10. So there's an incentive to come in here, and it allows us to gain new customers walking in the door and see how efficient we are coming in, coming out. You aren't waiting 3 hours for a prescription. You're waiting 5 minutes, you know? The other thing that COVID did is now we're doing the boosters and all the vaccines. So it's bringing new people in on a daily basis. We have all the vaccines here. And I mean, it's people see, they come in, they've set an appointment, and they come in and out, and they're like, wait, what do we need to do to get our drugs here? So it's, the exposure has been exponential due to COVID.
And by the way, in case you're wondering whose voice that is, it's Mr. Chad Strawn, who's the owner of Tidewater Pharmacy and Medical Supply. And Chad, I'm going to steal a page actually out of Leslie's book. What would you say is maybe a myth or a misconception about your industry, particularly on your side of it, not the big buck side, the independent side, that you would love to dispel a little bit?
We are more expensive than the big box. That is what most people think. And honestly, we are probably the cheapest out there. Your insurance company dictates what I charge you. They determine your copay based upon your contract with them. What they pay me is my contract with them. So if you go to CVS, Walgreens on the big box, it's $9 there, it's $9 here. It's the same price. Now, when it comes to cash pay, we often beat the cash pay prices. We have the ability, because I know what I'm paying for our medications, being, you know, the pharmacist and seeing what that bottle cost, where your pharmacy at your big box has no clue. It's managed from a corporate standpoint, so they don't really know what the margins are. So if I know you're coming with me with three different prescriptions, I'm willing to lose a little bit on one because I'm going to gain the other two. Often or not, our cash price is going to be cheaper. So ultimately, we are significantly cheaper, if not the same price as your big box.
Now, what is it? Do you have any advice for someone who wants to maybe open, you know, not necessarily a pharmacy, but a retail establishment? Is there any mistakes you made along the way that you might be able to pass along to someone wanting to open a store?
You know, the biggest thing is you've got to have time. You can't make it successful overnight. You've got to be able to get into it. You got to give 200%. Not even 100% is going to cut it. You got to be able to give 200%. You need a support network out of office. And that's just a general in life. You know, you need a support network that's able to encourage you, support you, direct you. And the other thing is, you know, again, it goes back to time. It's like, you can't rush through it. You can't rush through life. You can't rush through business.
I love the Monday morning quarterback philosophy or theory. And so if we're sitting here and you're talking to your 21-year-old self, Chad, knowing all the things you know, been in through the journey you have, what would you say you might would do different or tell yourself different at that 21-year-old self?
Again, be patient. You know, I don't know that looking, reflecting back, I don't know that I would have ever changed anything that I've done. Like I, at the corporate exposure, it learns what not to do. Again, that ability to be nimble from a COVID standpoint, you see what bureaucracy you go through on the corporate aspect of it, to being able to own your own business, to answer to yourself, there's nothing like it. And so being able to go from where you're so structured and then you're able to create a structure that works for you and for your staff, that is just, it's unbelievable. It's so satisfying and gratifying.
And what's on the horizon for Tidewater? Do you have any expansion plans or are just growing your customer base? Are you ever, I mean, what happens if you do put Walgreens out of business? Are you going to take over the building?
Great question. You know, we are looking for a second location. It's one of those things where at the end of the day, you got to maximize your four walls. And mm-hmm. what can we do within these four walls? Because there's only one of me. And, you know, if I were to leave this location and let's say we open up something in Somerville, well, I'm going to have to spend the next 3 years in Somerville and also driving up to Somerville every day. And I live right across the street from the pharmacy. So, you know, that quality of life is going to go down a little bit. And I'm going to miss these customers here. So at the end of the day, I'm going to maximize what we can out of these four walls. We're working on getting additional state licenses. We've gotten a few already. So we are able to mail into different states. So we're basically growing the business from that standpoint. Again, growing within the four walls that we can.
And so think about, you know, the role of being in Charleston, being in Mount Pleasant, like the community itself, what has that meant to you guys and kind of tying into Leslie's question about the future of not just your business, but really the community as a whole?
You know, at the end of the day, being a sense and being a part of the community is so gratifying. And again, you know, it allows me to sleep at night. You know, when you know, looking back from a pharmacy standpoint, when I know you, Eric, and I know you, Leslie, walk in this store and I know your kids and I know your medical history and I know maybe we need this medication or we don't need that medication, there's a heightened sense of who you are and what you need. And it's like your spouse, for instance, like they know you in and out. We know you in and out from a pharmacy standpoint. So when you walk in the door and I know you need something or you call me and say, hey, I need that, the ability to get it to you, number one, is important, but also to the relationship with that physician that I have that you see is also there because we are so readily accessible. They know Tidewater. A lot of the physicians in the area directly refer to us because they know we're going to get the medication to you. We're going to do it right. And it's ease of use and communication. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have the ability to know what's right and wrong and catch errors and minimize errors, whether it's the prescription or not, because I truly know who you are and I know your family. And so that's what's important to me is being able to be not only a sense of the community, but being a part of the family.
And if anybody wants to have their vaccines, you said, what vaccines are you offering right now?
So from a COVID standpoint, obviously the flu vaccine. It's time to get your flu vaccine. So that's a walk-in anytime. We got you covered. No appointment needed. We also offer all COVID boosters. We are doing or your first timer. It doesn't matter, the series. So we offer the Pfizer. We offer the kids Pfizer. We offer the Moderna. And we offer the J&J. You simply go to TidewaterPharmacy.com. There's a yellow banner at the top of the screen. Click on it. Choose the vaccine you want. And you can see the appointment times that are available.
And Chad, I know we're neighbors, so I know a little more about you in terms of your kind of balance, right? Mind, body, spirit. I know you love working out. I know you enjoy your faith. That's all a part of who you are. Talk about the roles of those other perspectives and how you balance that as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it was hard to find that balance because, as you know, you're drinking from a fire hose. You're doing so much that like you got to make this successful. And then eventually the clouds kind of clear, the seas part, and you're able to find your balance. And again, having that support outside of work is so instrumental on your sanity, your mental health, whether it's your spouse, your friends, your kids, whatever it is. You know, during COVID, and Eric, this is how we met. We were doing a men's workout group at our pool deck at like 5:30 in the morning, and you're driving by and you're like, what is all this noise? What is all this racket? And interesting enough, my wife had kind of urged me to do it, as some of my buddies had to close their dental practices and had hit a, you know, mental health, you know, alarm, and was like, hey, what's going to happen? Like, we're closed for a month. There's no money coming in. You need to get the body moving, get some things going. So there was a camaraderie in the seven of us that worked out, and who would have thought we'd go a year and a half later, continue to work out 5:30, 3 days a week in the morning, through this rain, through the winter, through everything. But it was something that we all needed at the time and continue to need.
I cheer you on. It's just a little early for me. Leslie, if you don't mind, bring us home with a little lightning round.
All right. Here we got some rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit more. Chad, what is the best movie of all time?
Oh, Saving Private Ryan.
Best book you ever read?
I'm not a big reader.
That's okay. No, hey, that's all right. What's maybe a hidden talent not many people know that you have?
You know, I love to do woodworking.
Oh, all right. Where would we find you on your perfect day off?
At the house, hanging with the family.
And number one thing on your bucket list?
Go to Africa. Oh. Do a safari.
Love it.
I just got off the phone with one of my clients this morning, and literally he just got back last night, 3 week safari in Africa. So I was right there with you. I'm like, man, I can't wait to get some notes from that one. So amen on
fill
that.
Me in.
So, that's right. Thanks again, Chad. Thank you so much for sharing again your story. Congrats on all your success, and we look forward to continue to watch Tidewater blossom here in the community. Chad Strawn, owner, Tidewater Pharmacy and Medical Supply here in Mount Pleasant.
Thank you both.
And again, you've been listening to Beyond the Business, heard here on 94.3 and simulcast on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and iTunes. Also presented by the College of Charleston School of Business and Coastal Wealth Management. And until next Saturday morning, Lowcountry, have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Business, brought to you by the College of Charleston School of Business. The College of Charleston School of Business, where students are beyond ready to work, they're ready to make an impact. Tune in next Saturday morning at 9 for Beyond the Business, hosted by Eric Cox and Leslie Haywood, and heard exclusively on News Radio 94.3 WSC. The College of Charleston School of Business is recognized among the top 30 colleges for studying business abroad by the Business Research Guide, with 9 undergraduate majors, 10 minors, and 6 concentration areas, an honors program in business, and master's programs in business and accountancy. The College of Charleston School of Business has more than 3,000 students enrolled. Their students are ready to work, and they're ready to make an impact. For more info, visit sb.cfc.edu.